Okay, this is going to be different. It's the news. Well, you'll figure it out. It's according to me.
It's the news.
It's the news.
Yeah.
According to me.
Oh, hey, it's the news.
It's the news.
According to me, it's the news.
It's the news.
According to me, oh, it's the news.
It's the news.
According to me. According to me.
Well, yes, that is the case. It is the news, according to me. In case you couldn't pick that up from the song. I really like what that... There's two versions of that thing, and I actually like both of them. I have a hard time deciding between the two. There are things I like about both of them. That one probably, I think, is probably the smoother of the two. But it's the other one is... I like what they did with that stuff. But that's what they do. That's what they take this. We demonstrated this yesterday on show. It's Suno. And you take this song and you put it into the, you make your song and you write it. You do some music. You do some strumming on a guitar or do some harmonies with it. You know, make some production stuff out of it. Just, you know, a little cursory stuff. And this thing, literally, just does its thing. It takes it and makes it. It's like taking it to a production house and saying, "Hey, put your professional musicians on this and make it work." Now you can give it direction. You can tell it, you know, okay, I want it from the beginning to do this or that or what. You can get that's, and I do that a lot. I'll put the words in and say, "This is what I want to sound like. This is what I want." You know, I'll usually record a little snippet of the feel or the tone and the pace. And you can even give it, you can get a time signature if you want to. It'll. So I want 72 beats per minute or whatever that. Just whatever you're doing, the more direction you give it, the more specific it's going to be. And it'll follow that style. Or you can put in another style of music. You can post a style of music or something that you want it to sound like. It'll kind of try to mimic that as much as possible. And it's quite fun, I have to say. I just think that's fun, in my opinion. So I've been playing with that a little bit. Just for the fun of it. But anyway, I've been doing some production work on some other music projects, and that's where that all came about. Anyway, it's Financial Friday. Welcome to the show. It is yesterday's live show was quite energetic. Actually, I had some people in the chat room. Couldn't see the chat room, though. I was making some comments. People made comments. I couldn't see what they were saying. But it's hard to see what people are saying anyway. Regardless, it's hard to see words coming out of someone's mouth, unless you can read lips. I guess that'd be a way to see what they're saying. Just saying. And you can't see what I'm saying. You can hear what I'm saying. Even if you can read lips, you couldn't see what I'm saying. Because all you can do is hear what I'm saying. There's no video of this. I'm in a rubber room down in my dungeon basement here with nobody around. I've got the wife is off doing whatever the wife does. I don't know what she does. I don't know where she goes. She just leaves. That's all I know. Usually it's after I say a few stupid things and she goes away. And I don't know if that's related. That's something that's related to that. Me saying stupid things. I don't know. I think she's, she has various things she does. It's kind of neat stuff's happening there. We have, oh, yeah, I got to push that button right there. There we go. Now, I do not have any AI stuff today. We're not going to have any AI contributions today. This is going to be a fairly short show, actually. It's going to be probably a 30-minute show, just so you know, right up front. Because first thing I'm going to talk about is my cup. I got a fresh cup of chai here with coconut creamer in it. And in my backup cup, I have sweet peach tea, which I will be... I don't think I'm going to be able to take it all with me. I've got a trip I've got to go on later today. I'll actually be in Albuquerque, New Mexico, all day tomorrow. I get in there late tonight. I'll be there all day. I leave out of there on Sunday morning. I'll be in White Plains on Monday morning. I don't know that I'll be able to have a show. I'm going to try to make it work to have a show on Monday morning. It'll probably be recorded on Sunday, the way it's looking right now. I've got a lot of other things I got to work on while I'm there in Albuquerque. Lots of stuff happening down in New Mexico. I think there's actually some political stuff going on there. I'll be sure to sneak around and check some things out. Not that I can't remember. I just remember seeing something that was happening in New Mexico. Some kind of politician doing something down there. Anyway, the topic of today, typically Fridays, is the it's called the Financial Friday show, and I usually talk about finances. So we're going to delve into a little bit of stuff today. Now, one of the things that I need to know right up front here is I am not a doctor. I'm not a lawyer. I'm not a financial counselor. Everything I say is just for entertainment purposes only. And if you take my advice on anything, you're probably, well, you just do that at your own risk. At your own detriment. Might maybe be a better way to say it. So I have no idea what I'm talking about. There is one person though who does. There's a guy. I can't remember what his name. I think his name's Sean. But he goes. That's kind of the default name. You just call anybody when you don't know. He's got a show. He's got a channel called Actual Justice Warrior, and he's really when he's talking about budgets and government taxation, housing, financial fiscal stuff. When he's talking about that stuff, he is on fire. That's his wheelhouse. He talks about a lot of other things. He talks about, you know, issues of when, like, someone gets supposedly gets attacked by someone else. Just like this whole thing with Mom Donnie now. The CNN has gotten caught with this issue of Abby Phillips, who thinks she is the orator and the curator of truth, and she has to do this constantly. She has to correct people all the time on the show because they've only heard one side of the story. They don't realize that what they're hearing is actually conspiracy theories. They have to confront those things because it's – and then – like, and she works for CNN, of all places, one of the worst credibility – they have the biggest problem with credibility there at CNN because of the lies that they constantly tell. And here she is talking about how she's the orator, the curator, the prognosticator, whatever she is. She's just something. I don't know. She just goes on about this whole thing. Of course, they got Scott Jennings on there, and they're constantly trying to pounce. He's the only one on the show with any common sense and any kind of a conservative background, any understanding. And the other day, they were jumping all over Pete Hegseth. This guy was – he had his budget. He spent $16 million on lobster tails and $16 million on crabs and blah, 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 in 1 month. And he thinks that he just ate all that himself. That's what he eats. His regular diet. You can't spend $16 million on food in a month. That's $500,000 a day. Okay, I don't know. You know, I just don't know how you would do that. I mean, maybe there's some guy in Dubai that could manage to do that, having a $100,000 meal every time he sits down. And this guy was going off on this whole thing, making it sound like this is what he eats all the time. This is what his budget is on his. This is what his diet. But what are you talking about? So they end up, why is that not working? Oh, I see what happened. I see what happened there. So Scott Jennings finally confronts him. He says, do you think he's eating this stuff? What? Well, that's what he's spending. Blah, 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 blah. He just keeps going, just goes off the deep end on this whole thing. He says, it's for the troops. He's buying this for the troops. Now, what happened was, and by the way, folks, Well, that didn't work out too well. If there's extra money left over in the budget and they decide to spend it on that kind of stuff for the troops, You know what? So be it. These guys, they're showing videos of these guys eating this stuff. And all they're, you know, they continue to, they're all showing that I'm eating steak and lobster. I got, they're showing that like people that we must be going to war. They're sending us off to war. That's what they, that's all they could think about was we're going off to war. That's what they're going to do is. And, you know, unfortunately, that's what we're doing. But it's not, they're not sending the ground troops. So it was just a different thing. The issue was they had a bunch of money left over in the budget, and they had to do something with it. And I understand how these government budgets work. It's stupid. It's just stupid the way they work. If you cut costs and you don't spend as much, the next year you don't get as much. Well, you might know that because of circumstances, one year you might have a year where you were able to cut the budget down. You were able to but you know that the next year your budget's going to be back up again. It's just you're going to need that funding again. Why they do this, I don't know. It seems kind of strange to me to know that if you have a budget and you go under it, well, guess what? The next year this leaves you with this weird thing of now you have to, there should be a cap on the budget. That's what it should be. But if you go under it, then good for you. Next year, you'll have the same budget unless something's changed, unless you request it. There has to be some flexibility in that. I mean, does that work in a person's household? If I somehow am able to, you know, I get paid X amount of dollars every week and I get this and then and if I go through a month, this month I was able to stay under my budget. Well, now next month they're not going to make as much. Can't pay you as much next month. Sorry. Because you were able to survive on this much. So we're only going to be able to pay that much. That might be the way communism works. It's not the way it works in the real world. But they do that. And I worked for an organization one time. It was a church-owned nonprofit charitable donation status company that I worked for when I was young. I had gone off to Nigeria and I saw, you know, just not too long before that, and I saw what it was like for people who didn't have any food and didn't have, you know, means, very much means, and having saw what I saw. And I went back to, you know, this was during the time I was working there. I took like a 2-week period of time off and or whatever it was. I was over there for, I guess it was a couple months. Anyway, I went over there and came back to the job. That summer, we had a bunch of leftover, it was peanut oil and all kinds of stuff. It was government surplus stuff that was given to us. It was a program back then of some kind. It may still be this kind of thing. And we were given all kinds of cooking oil, all kinds of stuff from government surplus, part of a program, if we used it. Well, we didn't use it. There was a bunch of it that didn't get used, cases of it. And the director told us to dig a hole and bury it. So my direct report, I went and he dug the hole with a backhoe. And then he loaded it all up on the front of the backhoe, the scoop part of it, the loader part. And he told me to go, take it over, bury it. I refused. I was not going to bury food. I felt like it was just wrong. It's just that we're not doing this. This could be given to somebody else or something. I don't know what's going on. What is going on here? Why are we burying food? Well, the director, the main director, the head of the place, his story was, well, if they find out we didn't use it, then we won't get as much next year. Well, maybe we don't deserve as much next year. My thought was, you know, why are we burying food? It just doesn't explain to me why we're burying food. I'm sorry, but that's a problem, especially with the kind of organization it was. It was kind of one of those high and mighty, how you say, well, let's just say it was an Anabaptist organization, which that's my heritage, that's part of. Where did all those go? Sorry, stuff going on in the background here. And I just had a hard time with it. I really did. And so, yeah, I ended up not doing it. And it just, they ended up burying it themselves, which is fine. Of course, that all of a sudden, my direct report, who was the one who had to do it, my boss had to do it. And later on, he said, you know, as I was doing that, I understand what you're going through. Because it suddenly struck me as I was burying food that we're burying food. I was he just really had a hard time with it. Now, if I had done it, they wouldn't have thought anything of it. But because he got to do it, well, then all of a sudden it hit home a little bit closer to him. He realized as he was doing it, took the time to actually do it, not have somebody else do it. He had to realize what was happening there. Anyway, it kind of bothers me. Well, here's the thing, though. If the government would have found out that they didn't use it, they would have gotten less the next year. And that's the same kind of thing I understand it. You have to use it or lose it. It's kind of a thing that you have to get to do. So that's what they did with this money, this stuff going to Hegseth. We decided, you know what, we're going to splurge on the troops. Give them a good meal. That's what happened. I don't know who it was. I don't know what kind of troops it was. I think it was a low-ranking officer. They weren't officers. I mean, they were just low-ranked, you know, the privates and stuff. Okay, so anyway, the fiscal stuff like that. So the CNN was talking about this Mamdani thing, and they said that this attack in New York was an attack on Mamdani himself. Now, what happened here was there was a protest about the Muslims in New York. It was being held near Mamdani's house. I don't know what they call it. It's something square or whatever it's called. I don't know. Oh, thank you, Siri. I wasn't asking you anything. Meaning grammar, guide, usage, grammar, the grammar gun. What? I don't even know what you're talking about. It's just stupid. I don't know. I'm getting messages from I see what happened here now. This is, all right. I see. Let's try that again. I got some stuff going on in the background here in case you didn't notice. There's a little bit of distractions, a few distractions. So Mamdani, Abby Phillips comes out and says that the attack was on Mamdani. What happened was this demonstration against Muslims in, I think they brought a roast pig or something. They were roasting a pig or something in this area near Mamdani's house. And what happened was, this guy out of the blue, and what he was saying was, everybody who's in New York, we want you to, you know, we want people to stay in New York. We don't want people coming from outside. But he was making this little, and he's kind of a, I don't know who this guy is. I've never heard of him before. He's out there with this bullhorn. He's making this announcement. He's saying something. Over his back comes this guy with a pipe bomb. I think they had more than one, actually. And they were the legitimate pipe bombs. These were real things. These guys are ISIS supporters, ISIS-influenced guys, Muslims, who were decided to throw pipe bombs into the crowd of the protesters. Some cop, hero that he is, chased the guy down, knocked him down, and got him caught, as well as, I think they were able to contain the explosive device. Of course, Mamdani didn't say anything about that. He didn't give any kind of praise to the police officers and how they acted, you know, heroically. I don't think he did that for like, I think it was like 2 days before he came out and said anything about it at all. But they blamed it right away, the blame, and it started from the top down. It started from Mamdani himself. He started talking about how, oh, as a Muslim, I know what it is to, you know, all this, anti-Muslim rhetoric. As if he was sticking up for the guy who threw the pipe out. Well, you know, he was just acting out because he was offended by what they were doing. He's just, you know, he's just upset about this. Sorry, but that's not excusable by any means. That's what that is. It's just not excusable. And then they make it sound like this guy just happened to be going. He just happened to be going to New York. He was from Pennsylvania. Of course, they won't mention the fact that he crossed state lines. He crossed state lines. He went across state lines. That's all we heard about with the issue in Wisconsin on a border town, a town that was on the border of one state. This kid, whatever his name, Kyle, what was it, went to where these riots were going on. He took off and went over there to try to help out with some things. And all they did was talk about how this kid crossed state lines. Of course, the city rests on a state line, basically. He's closer. That's the closest town to his home. I think he worked in that town. So it's one of those deals where it's kind of like people across the line here, state line in Elkhart. I work in Elkhart. He went across state lines. Well, yeah, because it's a mile away. The town in my work is a mile away. It's across. So that's kind of what that's like. And yet they made a big deal out of this fact that he crossed state lines. Well, this guy, I think there was more than one of them. They crossed state lines. Went from Pennsylvania into New York and crossed state lines with a pipe bomb. He didn't just, I'm just going to go get a pipe bomb over here and throw it. No, he brought the pipe bomb with him. He fully intended to do what he was doing. The mens rea, as they call it. I'm not a lawyer, but I do know some technical jargon. He goes and throws this pipe bomb, and then it's the protesters that antagonized him to do so. Because, you know, what's the most logical, reasonable reaction when someone has a protest against something that you believe in? Well, you know, you just pull out a pipe bomb. That's expected. That's just a normal reaction. That's just, what else are you supposed to do? You left me no other option. I mean, it's just, how ridiculous is that? But it was reported on CNN by more than one person, but Abby Phillips was the worst of all of them. She came out and just flat out said it, knowing better than she knew full well what had happened there. Said that it was an attack on Mamdani himself. And they made it sound like it was a MAGA person who threw the pipe bomb. The other report, they were twisting this thing all over the place. And this guy, in the meantime, he's done it more than once. Every time there's a camera involved, he shoots this ICE symbol with his hands. ISIS symbol with his hands. He considers himself an allegiant to ISIS. Said all kinds of weird things. Anyway, I'm not going to get into too much about what he's all about, but I'm going to talk about the fact that they twist stuff around all the time on CNN. So this is the kind of disinformation you have to deal with. And of course, they're talking all about they were real big on where things are going to go with the price of oil, the price of food, the price of everything that was going to happen. They were real big on all that. They were going to try to go after it all. And it's working. Yeah, so it gets really old after a while. Now let's talk finances. Let's talk money. Let's say what's happening here with regard to where things are going, but just in terms of economy and finances. Right now, we are in a really very strange moment, and we've had several of these this year where it is a good time to buy into the market right now, in my opinion. I'm just saying, don't take my advice. This is just entertainment. Like I said, I'm not a financial counselor. If you do something on your own, that's all on you. For me personally, I think it's a good time to buy. Now, I'm not sitting in a position. I guess I probably should go ahead. Actually, my wife's in a situation where she probably should start doing some options trading. But anyway, because she's sitting on piles of cash. Got piles of cash over there, piles. Over in her office over there. She won't let me in the office because there's so much cash. Well, she can't even hardly get in the office. There's so much cash piled up in there. But anyway, She listens to the show occasionally. So she's going to, I'm sure I'm going to get chewed out for saying that. She'll say something about it. She'll mention it. So she ended up, we could probably pack it away in some Amazon boxes. Got plenty of those sitting around. Anyway, we have the bond market is where money really starts. You have to look at what's going on with bonds. The bond market goes up and down, and it's as it goes up, that means that there's it means a lot of different. I'm not going to get into all the specifics on it because I'll get it wrong. When the bond market is up, it means one thing with the economy. When the bond market's down, it means something else. And of course, you buy a bond, and then you get straight line interest paid basically on it, and then it matures to a certain point, and then they pay you back the original amount.
And it's kind of an interesting thing. Now, my mom had some bonds. She bought some bonds. She bought bonds in the name, I think, in our names, kids' names, or whatever you want to call it. And of course, after they passed away, bonds got cashed out. I think it was. Now, back in the day, when you could buy a house for $10,000, a $100 bond was a big deal. That would be like a $10,000 bond today, or probably more than that. So it was just a different time, different world. Of course, the bonds that she had purchased and they matured and everything, it wasn't quite the same, but it was interesting stuff. Now, having said that, right now the market there's a couple of different stocks right now that are way down, and it doesn't make sense for them to be down. In fact, there's several. There's a lot. The market itself is kind of down right now. I haven't actually looked at the market lately, but it's down like crazy. Let's see if I can pull up something here with. Yeah, this is. No, I could just get rid of that page there because I can't see what's going on. Maybe later. How about you click on go away? Just go away. All right, I don't know what's going on with that. There it goes. All right, advertisements are popping up everywhere. Here we go. Yeah, market is down right now. At least my market is down. It's down. It's way down. I should have sold out some things a while back and just kind of waited it out. I kind of saw it coming, and but you don't do that. You don't just start buying and selling. Definitely don't sell low. You buy when it's low. That's when you buy. It's the old buy low, sell high thing. Of course, when it's high, then you hang on to it. Look what it's worth. But it's one of those things where you have to kind of look at the trend, and there's all kinds of different ways of doing things. Options, especially, is kind of a tricky maze to work with. But once you understand it, then it becomes very easy to do. It's just you have to understand how it works. There's something called a wheel strategy, which is pretty good. It's a very simple strategy. A lot of people use it. There's some other things out there. You can do leaps. You can do all kinds of stuff with actual. Anyway, there's all kinds of things you can do with that. And so you buy and sell puts and calls and that kind of thing. And you got to kind of get hit at the right time with the market. It's just a matter of timing with when things trade, when those things mature, whatever. It's a slow and steady game. It's not like day trading where you're just playing the small percentages and trying to buy and sell, constantly doing, you know, all kinds of weird stuff. That's all based on that's just wacky. That's where you lose your shirt. But the options thing is fairly solid if you don't do anything too stupid. It's you still have to have some wisdom in what you're doing there, but it does work. So anyway, having said all of that. So financially, we have this. The market is it's up and down right now. It's kind of in a soft spot right now. I think part of that's because of the war potential, you know, kinetic action that's going on. I think that has in some ways. Left a little bit of a confidence level issue. Like I've always said, the thing that drives market is fear and greed, the two things that if something looks like it's going to go up, people buy in. That's the greed. They want to get in on the upswing. So they want to jump on that ladder going up. Then the fear is that when you lose confidence in something, everybody starts selling out and it starts plummeting to the bottom. It's the two things that typically drive the stock market. Now, inflation, underneath it all, inflation drives a small percentage of increase all the time, typically between 2 and 10%, depending on what's happening with that particular stock. Now, anything that's AI right now, of course, is hot topic. Anything connected to AI, whether it's energy, power, whatever it is, servers, chips, memory, you know, anything that has to do with the hardware that AI needs for these data centers. Any of that stuff is all a part of the chain that everybody's trying to invest in, to find out which part of the chain is going to be the most successful. And AI is going nuts. So that's one of the hot kind of the bubble markets right now in some respects that's happening. There's a huge bubble forming there, in my opinion. It's way overrated. There are some people who are being honest about the whole AI world, and it is not what some people think it is or what they want it to be. In fact, it is much less than what they are saying. As someone who has worked with it quite a bit, let's just say the frustration level with what it can do or what it does. Now, it is a remarkable technology. Don't get me wrong. But it is not the answer to everything. It doesn't have all the answers. It will lie to you until you confront it and it'll go, okay, well, yeah, that's not the way it's really supposed to be. It wants to please you. It wants to come up with an answer for you. So it will come up with anything. And you have to give it some of the, like, you might say, hey, I want to start a business doing this. Oh, that's a great business to start. It's just going to be very positive. It always responds very positively. And with every response, it always says, you want me to put together a pitch deck? It's kind of like this little friend that all of a sudden attaches itself to you and it wants you to keep using it. Now, I do want to say this. There is something that has not been tapped into yet. I touched on this a while back. This is where the money is going to be made. This is where Google made their money initially as the Google search thing started happening. SEO for companies. When you ask the AI agent, hey, I'm working on my alternator. Here's a picture of my alternator on my. So let's just say it's just I'll just make something up, like an alternator on a motorhome. Happens to be a Coachman, 2007 Coachman motorhome. Not that I would know anything about one of those. So say that the alternator goes out and the belt breaks. And so you need to find an alternator for it. So you put your VIN number in there and you say, hey, this is the VIN number of the coach I have. And it's it finds all the information out about that particular coach. It will find all that. And then it will tell you exactly what the part number is for that alternator. It now knows everything about that vehicle that's online to get. And it's all stuff that's online. It will go out and find that information. So now you can, even if it's behind a paywall, if you are able to give it what's called an API key, whatever it is, you can do what they call scraping of the websites and that kind of thing. It'll go out and do that kind of stuff if you equip it to do so. And of course, it kind of depends a little bit on the type of AI, LLM, as they say it, large language model that you're working with. Now, if I say, okay, it's going to say, no, of course, the alternator was seized up. So the question is, where do I get another alternator? What kind of alternator should I get on there? Now, if you are savvy in your business and you can theoretically create a way for the LLM, the agent, the whatever it is, the SEO, the search engine optimization type thing, if you have a way of helping it point to your business. Say I have a business selling alternators. And it, all of a sudden it says, hey, there's an alternator shop 2 miles from you. Here's the phone number. And this is where you can get that alternator. Well, I happen to be that shop or whatever. So you see how this can connect up to something. And once you are able to get the LLM, the open AI, whatever it is, ChatGPT, whatever you're using, Claude, whatever it is, Gemini, whatever it is you're using. And that all of a sudden, the little conversation you're having there points you to a particular store. And you can do this with Google. You can have, it's called AdSense. You can do all kinds of things with Google as well. When your ad will come up, your location will come up because you're registered on Google or whatever it is with your business. And therefore it will show up when people look for do a Google search for your particular business. Your business is going to show up, especially if you're paying for clicks. Supposedly it will. So that's how that works. Now, that's where the money is going to be made. That's where Google has made its money. Well, for the most part, that is where Google has made its money, is in advertising. This is how Facebook is free. Don't forget, when you join something for free, you're the product. You're the one that they want to put the ads in front of. In other words, let's say that I have a company called, Sony or whatever it is. With a Z, Sony. What'd you think I said? So I own this company. And I decide that I'm going to advertise on Facebook. And I look at the demographics and I say, well, let's see these are the kind of people we want to sell to. This is the kind of people who are typically buy our products. I want to get this ad in front of this number of people. And I look on Facebook and it says they can reach, 700 million people. So, And 220 million of them are this demographic right here. This is the demographic we typically sell to. Well, they're going to charge me. It's going to be worth me paying, $10,000 for an ad to run for a whole month in front of that number of people. Is it going to be worth it to me? So I got to look price point per price per item, that kind of thing. The response rate, all that kind of stuff. You got to figure all this stuff out. So now you go through all that stuff and what ends up happening is that company will decide whether or not that's worth it. Now, if this is where Twitter got into trouble, because Elon Musk came in and found out that it was valued at a certain valuation because of advertising. Because they supposedly had there's some problems with some of these discs. I'm not sure what's going on with some of these. Oh, I think I picked up the wrong one. Possibly. I don't know. What's going on with that? Where did I put the other one? It's over here. Oh, it's got some debris on it. That's what the problem is. Oh, it's got a crack in it. Probably got cracked when I fell on the floor. Let's see how many more of these. Yeah, that one's. Oh, my goodness. Yeah. A whole bunch of these got cracked. Apparently got cracked when they fell on the floor here a little bit ago. Isn't that going to work? Well, that's sad. Trying to make some CDs here in the background and. Yeah, that's shattered as well. Now, that one might actually work. We could try those. Let's see what. Probably going to fly apart. They spin at about 20,000 RPMs. See if I can make those work. I don't know what to try. Yeah, it's got a big old crack in there. It's kind of weird. Kind of big old crack. So the issue is whether or not. You can get your business in on that SEO type thing and make that happen. That's where the real money is going to be made. So at this point, there will be agencies out there that are going to help you get your SEO. There's SEO. There's businesses out there right now that's all they do. There's small businesses that ended up. Say you got a company and you're trying to get more business in your particular area, and so you go to this company and you ask them if you can, if they can help you with your search engine optimization. So you're looking for being able to reach your clients, your customers, whoever it is out there, the potential customers. And they help you when somebody types in you're looking for, you know, grass seed or whatever they're looking for. Then maybe you've got a lawn care company, and that your lawn care company comes up first. That's the whole point of this whole thing, is that you want to be the first one out. That is where the investment, in my opinion, that's where the money is going to be made. Now, there's companies out there, they're selling power. They're selling like power companies and chip companies. All that kind of stuff is all important for the infrastructure, but that's a temporary thing. The ongoing money is going to be in advertising. And that, I think that's where we need to find as this goes on, and I'm going to talk to an AI about it, maybe have a discussion with them about how to increase SEO. It'll tell you. And you have to tell it to be honest. You have to tell it to give you sources of information. Yes, you have to you want verifiable sources. Otherwise, it's going to lie to you. I guarantee it's going to make something up. Normally, it's pretty. I'd say about 80% of the time, 85% of the time, it's pretty. It tries to be accurate with the information it has. However, it will fill in the links for you. That's why you have, when you try to do any kind of thing with anything with artwork, especially, it will fill in the blanks. It will put fingers in weird places. Like it'll make people's hands look weird, like they got just fingers coming out of their wrists or whatever. But it does weird stuff because it's just trying to get it done and make it look presentable to the point, without any too fine details, unless you tell it to do specific things. So it's going to be, it's kind of just kind of one of those weird situations. It's kind of a weird thing. Anyway. I said it was going to go 30 minutes. We've gone 40. I've gone way into the ethosphere here. I've got to get going. I've got to get out the door here before 12:30. So that's all I've got to say about that. That's all I'm going to say about it. I've said enough. I've said quite enough. In the meantime, we're going to go out the door here with the typical song that the ZZ Top coming in here. I don't know who it is. By the way, this song was just made up as well by Suno. I gave it some direction. I even did some. That's all I did. That's all. I came up with this. That's kind of interesting. Anyway, if you want to call the show or call, text, or write the show, I was going to tell you guys about the issue. You know what? I'm going to talk about it. I'm going to talk about it. I'm going to talk about it before I leave. Occasionally, I get weird emails and email stuff and text message. Whatever I get, it's people who want to be interviewed on my show. They want me to do an interview. Now I don't think occasionally they'll actually even mention something that they've heard on the show. I don't know if they actually heard it or if that's just something that AI told them that I said. I don't know. I don't know what's going on there. I did get this weird, this very strange email from someone in Florida who's running for some office down. I think it's close to Miami. It's not too far from Miami. A district representative, state representative, not a federal election person. It's just a state house thing in Florida. And I didn't say anything. All they said was something about, I'm interested in technology and interested in, I just kind of had an interview with somebody else and got 10 million listeners or whatever. So, okay, really? That's Joe Rogan territory there. And so they said something about it. They wanted to come on my show and be interviewed. And I started looking this person up. And I couldn't figure out whether the person was a Democrat or Republican. And first of all, they're not going to be comfortable on my show if they're a Democrat. It's not going to end well for them. It's just, first of all, I don't think they've ever heard my show because it is so whimsical that I don't think that they would. And you're running for something in Florida. I don't know. I just don't have that many listeners in Florida. I have a few. There's some down there. It's not. It just seems strange to me, but at the same time, what it showed me was Democrats apparently don't like to be real upfront about the fact that they're a Democrat in Florida. It's kind of an area where they're kind of sheepishly kind of under this is why I say because they are wolves in sheep's clothing. I had to dig. I went to this person's website wasn't up front. Nothing was up front. I had to dig way down into about four levels of menus before I could find something about this person being a Democrat. Now, I could look on their policies, some of the things that almost entirely the first page was all about donating to their campaign. They're running against MAST down there. And of course, now, as soon as I heard that, I was like, oh, well, they're not primarying against MAST. They're running against him in the general election down there, state. And so it was one of those things where it was, maybe it is federal. Yeah, I guess it is congressional. I don't know. I pay attention. Because I think MAST is actually he's a congressman down there. Anyway, so not going to interview. First of all, I don't have a show that comes on at a certain time of any time of day. It was working that the logistics, working that out to actually do it. I'm not a professional podcaster. That's not what I do. And it's, but it's just kind of, I just wanted to share that with you because it was kind of interesting that I would get some kind of a response like that. Anyway, but if you want to call the show or text the show, there's a hotline. I'll try this again. 574-651-7685. You can call or text. You can go to google.com/voice, by the way. Leave a, if you live outside the country, you don't have an international calling plan, that kind of thing, you can do that. 574-651-7685. I'm going to go out with a bang here. Yeah, I played all this myself. So I did all this. Not. So I'd like to be able to do this kind of thing. I'm sure if I worked at it long enough, spent the next 20 years. See ya. God bless. Have a great weekend. Shabbat shalom. See ya.